Hello and thank you for listening to Shofar Armana's Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message and that it will inspire you in your walk with God.
Amen. This morning I would like to continue where I stopped 2 weeks ago. Thank you, Yaku, for standing in. Last week we spoke about, or 2 weeks ago, we spoke about the fact that the way we used to be, fallen men that was captive to sin and captive in sin. And our dilemma as fallen man, not just because of our sin and the guilt that comes with that sin, but the reality of our sinful nature that causes us to sin. We not just have a problem with the fact that we have sinned and we have guilt around that. We have a problem with the sinful nature within us that causes us to sin. And then we have the law on the other side that does not really have the power to break sin in us, but really to expose what sin is. And we are really in a dilemma that we have the sinful nature that causes us to sin, and we have the law on the other side that points out to us our sinfulness and the way or God's standard of holiness, but it has no power to actually enable us to change, to be free. And that is humanity's relationship to eternity. But then, of course, God in His mercy and grace sent His Son to do what we could not do, and the law was powerless to do, to set us free. So in John chapter 8, we read from verse 31, then Jesus said to the Jews who believed in Him, if you abide in My words, you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then they asked Him, said, we are Abram's descendants. We have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say You will make us free? And then Jesus answered them and said, surely I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And a slave does not abide in a house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And we spoke about this fact that whoever commits sin is a slave. And we were tied up in the reality. We're not just slaves because of our guilt. We're not just slaves because of the things that we've committed. We are slaves because of the fact, as hard as we might try, we cannot be free. And then on the other side, if somebody can help me, because I can't even get there because of my sin. We have the law. And the law in itself simply points to me the fact that I am a sinner. It actually makes very clear what sin is. And the law cannot set me free either, because it's powerless to do so. So in a sense, as much as I want to follow Jesus, let me first tie myself up to the law, try to keep the standards of the law through my good works. You see, as much as I would want to walk towards Christ, I am incapable of doing so because I'm tied on both sides. So Jesus came to do something amazing, and the reality is He came to set us free. He came to set us free from our sin and the power of sin, but He also came to do what the law could not do. And that is to change us. Because the law was powerless to change who I am. And that's what we talked about last week, and I don't want to go back there. If you missed it 2 weeks ago, you can go on the internet. It is absolutely free. Just like salvation. So just go download that. But here in Romans 8, it says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, the law could not make me free because it was weak because of the sinful nature, was weak because of the flesh. Christ God did by sending His Son, to set us free. For what the law could not do, though it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on the account of sin. He condemned the sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled for us who do not walk in the flesh. okay, you must get this. Christ has come to set us free, but that freedom is not to do whatever you want. You see, Christ has come to set you free, and wherever the Son says free is free indeed. But you're not free to do whatever you want. You're not free to go back to the flesh. You are now free to follow Jesus. Nothing prevents you anymore because you've been set free. You have been accepted. You have been redeemed. You have been washed. You have been declared holy. So therefore, there's nothing that prevents you. You have been declared holy. In other words, the righteous requirement of the Lord has been fulfilled. The law has been fulfilled in you. So you're free from the law. To prove yourself to be holy, or to try to achieve it through your works, you've been set free from it. It's the righteous requirement has been fulfilled. So you are free. You are free. Don't forget this. If you miss this, you will not get the next. You are free. If you miss it, go download it. Romans 6, verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old man, the sinful man, was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, so you should no longer be slaves to sin. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's become a new creation, old things away. Behold, all things have become new. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And isn't it amazing? Those who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You see, your freedom of condemnation is in Christ Jesus. It's in His sacrifice. It's your acceptance of it. You're living in it. There's your freedom. And in that freedom, you no longer walk according to the flesh, but according to a new way, which you were incapable of doing. Because of your sinful nature, you were in bondage, and even though you tried to uphold the law, you couldn't. But now Christ has come to set you free so that you can walk through a new way, and that is by the Spirit. Now see, in the new covenant, we no longer walk and try according to the flesh. We walk according and we live according to the Spirit. This is so important because I see so many Christians still live with the old covenant mindset. And they're never free from sin. But this is what Christ has called us to, freedom. So we have been saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves, not of our works, but because of His works. We appropriate that freedom through faith, not through works. It's given by grace, and so we are set free. But we are not free to do whatever we want. We are free to follow Christ. You are free to follow Christ. So I have been declared holy, and this is so important, because of Christ's sacrifice and the righteous requirement of the law that has been fulfilled in Him, because you were crucified with Him, your sin was placed in Him, and your sinful nature with Him, the old man, and it was killed, it was done away with. So you are declared holy before God. You must get this, we all get this. In Christ, you are declared holy. But this is a position in Christ. Now that you are holy, you are actually free to live holy. And this is where many Christians miss it. We declared holy, but we know we don't live holy. This confuses the world out there, and they call us hypocrites, which we rightfully are, because we declare the holiness of God, but we don't live it. But God did not set us free so that we can continue in the world. He set us free so that we can live according to the Spirit. So, it's not just a position, it's also a lifestyle. And you see, this is where we sometimes miss it in the old, in the modern church. We have this old covenant mindset concerning grace. That grace, just like in the old covenant under the law, where the sacrifices of bulls and goats could cover my sin. It couldn't do away with it, but it covered my sin. So we relate to grace as something in the new covenant that covers my sin. So in other words, I can continue with sin and it's okay because grace is covering it. That's not what God has come to do. He's come to deal with your sin and the power of sin so that you can be free. You can be free. Okay. No grace gives me access to the power of God. See, grace gives me access to the power of God. It gives me access to the power of God. Grace is not the power of God. I want to challenge you here. Grace is not the power of God. Grace is what gives me access to the power of God. You see, I used to approach Him through works, but now by grace, I am in Christ through faith. But grace is God's attitude towards me. It's something that He extends towards me, not through works, but through grace, by grace. By grace we are saved. So grace is something that gives me access to the power of God that changes me. And this is where we sometimes miss it in the modern theology, because we understand grace wrongly. Grace is God's attitude towards me. It's not God's power. We'll look to that. Grace gives me access to the power of God that enables me to live a holy life. It is the power of God in me that allows me to live holy life. And I want us to look at that. Grace is not a cover for sin that I can continue in sin. That is what Romans 6, 1 to 2 very clear, makes clear very clearly. Sorry, I'm struggling over my tongue here. Romans 6 verse 1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. So grace is not a cover. I want you to see this. Grace is not the cover. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer? Or Romans 6 continues, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know? Listen to this. Do you not know to whom you present yourselves to obey? You are the slave to the one you obey. The one you present yourself to obey, even under grace, if you want to call it that, because we are not under grace, actually. We're under something else. But the one you commit yourself to obey, you're a slave of the one you obey. Now, if it's sin, it will lead to death. If you obey righteousness, it will lead to life. The key is, to whom do you obey? That is the key of all things. So we have been set free not to do as we please, not to continue in sin, because it says here, do you not know to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey? You are the one slaves you obey. Whether sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness. So all of a sudden we have been made free, but not to do what we please or what we want. We have been made free so that we follow God. That ability is not grace. Grace is God's attitude towards us. It's the dispensation that we live in that enables us to live holy lives. I want us to look at what is this that does enable us to live holy life. If it's not grace, and I'm sorry if I'm challenging some of your theology and mindset, but I want to show you through Scripture where is the power, because that is why so many Christians still live in sin. Because they are looking to something that has no power. It's a theology. It's a dispensation. It is an attitude. But grace is not a person. Grace is not a person. Grace is God's attitude towards us. It's His favor extended towards us so that we have access to something that does change us. But it's not grace. Grace is the environment in which it takes place, but it's not the power through which you change. But we have been set free not to do as we please, to continue in sin. Live as free people, 1 Peter 2 verse 16. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover up for evil. Live as God's slaves. In other words, it says you used to be a slave here. Now you've been set free, so now you live as if you're a slave of God. Not to do whatever you please, but to do what He pleases. Romans 6 verse 22, but now that you've been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness and the result is eternal life. Now before I get to this difference between the dispensation and God's attitude towards us, which is grace, which is not based on works. This is something given to us. It's called grace. That's not works. It gives us access to something else that changes you. We'll get to that. But this would lead us not to be slaves again to sin. The end result of this means you're going to become more holy, not less holy. You're not going to continue the way you used to, but you're going to be transformed, you're going to be renewed, and you're going to live a life empowered by something that would lead to holiness, and in the end, eternal life. But this holiness is not just a position, and this is another thing that I want to challenge some theological mindsets. Holiness is not just a position that we have. It is a position, but it doesn't end there. Holiness is not just a position in Christ. Holiness is a lifestyle that reflects the position that we're in. You see, it's a reflection. Our lifestyle is a reflection of the position that we're in. Our lifestyle is a reflection. Whether you're a sinner in Adam, controlled by the flesh, your lifestyle is a reflection of this position. If you're a sinner, this is what you're going to do. Your lifestyle will reflect the fact that you are still a sinner. But if you're declared holy, your lifestyle will reflect your position, which is holiness. That leads to death. This leads to life. You've been set free so that you can live here. In the past, you tried to get there, but you were a slave. So now God set you free so that you can. It's a position and a lifestyle. So as holy people, we've been set free so that we can live holy. This is what Romans 6 says. It says, what then shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace. What is the answer? Shall we continue to sin because we are covered? No. No, because grace is not a covering. Grace is an opportunity. It's an opportunity. And this is one of the reasons why you shall not continue to sin. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey? Here we get the same concept all over again. Do you not know the one that you present yourselves as slaves to obey? You are the one slaves whom you obey, whether sin leading to death. So, who are you presenting yourself to? If it is to sin, what would it lead to? Death. Or to obedience leading to life. You've been set free so that you can choose. So now we need to choose. But God be thanked that though you were slaves to sin, yet you obeyed from the heart, from the doctrine which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you've become slaves to righteousness. And I speak in terms of the weakness of your flesh, that just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. So holiness is not just a position, it is a lifestyle. You are now free so that you can live this. But there's good news. You have been given the ability to live a holy life. But that ability given to you is not grace. Now, grace is the environment in which you can, but the ability is not grace. And that's why so many Christians still live in sin. Because grace does not cover you. No, it gives you the access to something that you could not earn, that we did not have before. What is this something? We have not been declared holy. Not only have we been declared holy, but we are now called to live holy. Not as to earn our salvation as a result of, but as a result of our salvation. So now that we've been declared holy, we are called to live holy, not to earn. And remember, we've gone through this. You have been saved. Not of yourself. It is a gift of God. It is by grace. You cannot earn God's salvation. He has set you free by the blood of the Lamb. Remember that. Remember, there is now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. If you have accepted Christ, you have received salvation. You cannot earn it. You cannot earn it. You have been set free. So you don't need to live your life to earn your salvation. That was the law. That was the law. You had to earn it. But you've been set free from it. So you no longer need to earn your salvation. You receive it by grace through faith. Now that you are free and you are accepted, you must understand this. Otherwise, if you don't understand this, you will fall back into legalism. If you do not understand this, you will fall back into legalism and you will try to earn your acceptance. You must get this. You have been set free. You cannot earn your acceptance. You are already accepted. It's finished. You are accepted. Now that you're accepted, live a holy life. It's not the other way around. If you get this wrong, you will fall back into legalism. But if you understand you are accepted, you are forgiven, you are declared holy. Now, from this place, live a holy life. Do not go back here. Because if you do, it will lead to death. You have been set free, so now live a holy life. Not to earn it, but as a reflection of what has taken place. Now, you cannot do this in your own strength. I know that. That's why don't try to, because then you will fall back here. God did something amazing. And if you get it, it will change your life. It will continue to change your life. And you will be transformed into the likeness and the image of Christ Himself. We have been set free by grace. And we have been declared holy to live holy. Not through keeping the law in our own strength, but by keeping the law through His strength. This is where everything changes. This is where everything changes. You are not required to keep the law by your own strength. You are required to keep the law by His strength. Required is the wrong word. Under the old covenant, you were required to keep the law. Now the law has been fulfilled in your life. Now you can live it because you want to. You now live it because it's a reflection of what God has already, what God has already done in your life. Okay, so now you're living something. But in the modern church, we have misunderstood grace, and some people have made grace a person. We speak about grace as if He's part of the Trinity, but He's not. It's a dispensation, it's an attitude, it's not a person. You know, God, or let's put it this way, grace does not cover my sin. Grace does not cover your sin. Grace does not take away your sin. Doesn't take away your sin. Nor can it make you a new creation. Grace cannot do those things. Grace is not the power that keeps me from sinning. Grace is not the power that keeps you from sinning. Grace does not give you the ability to be obedient either. Grace is not a person. Grace is not personal. Grace is not God. It is not grace that takes away your sin. It's Jesus. It's not grace that washes you clean. It's the blood of Jesus. It is not grace that forgives you. It's Christ that does. It's not grace that changes you. It's the Holy Spirit in you. It's the Holy Spirit in you. That changes you. It's not grace that gives you the ability not to sin. No, it is the Holy Spirit in you that gives you the ability to change. You see, grace is not a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. You see, if you only have grace, there is no need for relationship. Because grace covers you, doesn't it? But it's not grace that forgives you. It's not grace that cleanses you. It's not grace that gives you the ability to overcome. It is not grace that enables you to be obedient. No, it is a person called the Holy Spirit that lives in you. Grace is God's attitude towards you. You did not deserve to receive my Spirit. So I give you grace so that you may have my Spirit. But I want to declare to you, if you live by the power of grace, you will struggle with sin. If you live by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will overcome sin. If you relate to grace as a person, you will not know Him as a person. You see, this is the key. This is the key. It's not grace, it's the Holy Spirit. Grace is not a person. The Holy Spirit is. And it's the Holy Spirit that transforms us, that renews us, that changes us, that enables us, that lives with us. And this has huge implications. You see, because Christ took away my sins, not grace. You see, it's the Holy Spirit that lives in me, not grace. Grace does not set me free. God sets me free. And the challenge is, because grace is not a person, if we only live by grace alone, there is no need for a relationship with God. But if I live by Christ alone, there is need for relationship. And all of a sudden, when I realize grace is God's attitude towards me, it's His favor and Him allowing the Spirit to come into me, I have a relationship with a person, and there is a need for that relationship. Because God is not dead. He's not a stone. He's not a statue. He's real. And if my life is in Christ, who is a person, there is a need for this relationship. And it is within this relationship that I am empowered to walk in freedom, to walk in holiness. Now, I live my life not by the power of grace, which is impersonal, but I live my life by the power of God, which is personal. It changes it. Why do you think modern Christians no longer pray and read the Bible? Because we relate to grace as if He's a person. But if we understand that grace has enabled me to come to the person, I would want to pray. I would want to read the Bible. Now, you've been saved by a person, not by an attitude. It is the attitude that led you to be saved. Yes. But you've been saved by a person. Your sins was paid for with real blood. You've been set free by God Himself. If I live my life by the power of grace alone, it is impersonal. But if I live my life by the power of God, it is personal. And it changes my way I live my life. And amazingly, if you get this, you will grow in holiness. Because it's in this relationship with God, by spending time in His Word, spending time in His presence, that you are changed. I am not changed by working out sermons. As powerful as it is, as much as I love spending time in His Word to work out a sermon, this is not where I grow. This is not where I change. You know where Andres changes? In his quiet time. This is where I change. When I spend time with God. When I spend time in His Word to get to know Him. This is where I change. I don't get changed by my work. I get changed by my relationship. It's amazing. So you don't need to be a pastor. Why I'm saying that, you don't need a pastor to grow in your relationship with God or to grow in holiness. No, you can remain an accountant, a teacher, a doctor, whatever you do. What you need is a relationship with Jesus. You need a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And a relationship is just that. It is a relationship. Ask your wife, husbands, What is a relationship? If you are still dating, ask the girl you're dating. What is a relationship? It's time spent with each other. There is no shortcuts. Grace didn't change that. And gave meaning to it. It brought it to a new dispensation. A whole new dimension. Grace enables every single person to come into the presence of God. Not just the high priest here under the law. Once a year. No. By grace, you yourself can come into God's presence every day of your life. By grace. Amen. But don't, please, don't worship grace. Worship Jesus. Worship Him. Follow Him. Spend time with Him. Listen to Romans 8. Listen to Romans 8. It says, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. It's a relationship. Then it goes on, who do not walk according to the, but I walk according to something else. The Holy Spirit, which is a person. It is a person. You know, the scripture says, if we live by the Spirit, we must also keep in step with the Spirit. I preached on that. I don't want to preach it again. It's a relationship. We know what it means to walk by the flesh. To do what the flesh desires. You know, the sinful desires of the flesh. Do not give in to that. What is the opposite of the desires of the flesh? The desires of the Spirit. You have been free to choose. You can either give in to the desire of the flesh, or you can give in to the desire of the Spirit. How would you know the desire of the Spirit? You must have a relationship with Him. So our choice here is not sin or obedience. It is to whom desire you follow, whom you have a relationship with. That's why God says, do not love the world or the things in the world, because the love of the Father is not in it. But you must love God. If you have a relationship with God, sin will not have dominion over you. It will not. Because God Himself that lives in you will empower you to overcome it. But it's through a relationship, people. It's through a relationship. It says that therefore, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. Why? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free of the law of sin and death. You see, the law of the Spirit is in whom? It's in a person. It's in a person. It's in Jesus Christ. For God, for what the law could not do and it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son, personal, in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law may be fulfilled in us who do not walk, but how do we walk according to the Spirit? We have a relationship with the Spirit. It's not void of relationship. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. How do you know the mind of the Spirit? How do you know the mind of your wife? I know this is tricky because it changes all the time. But how do you even know it changes? Because you have a relationship. How do you know how your wife feels about you coming late? How do you know that? Well, you have a relationship with her, you spend time with her, and you realize if you're late without phoning, still full. Your wife is going to get nervous. So you know the desires of your wife because you have a relationship with you. You don't know the desires of my wife. Why not? Because you don't know her. I know her. So I know her desires. You see, people, this is the key to overcome sin in your life. This is the key to holiness. It's not your power. It's not your strength. It's not your ability. It's His power, His strength, His ability that is found in a relationship with Him. So you have to spend time with Him. I'm sorry. There is no shortcuts. You have to spend time with God. These promises of God, all these promises are yours. All the promises is yes and amen. Where? In Christ Jesus. It's in Him. It's in Him. It's in a relationship with Him. I must conclude. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, and those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, nor can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit, His Spirit who dwells in you. I just want to stop here, verse 11. Just if you're struggling with sin, listen to this carefully. This is a relationship with God that enables you. This is the key. The key of overcoming sin is a relationship with the Holy Spirit. The key is not grace, it is the Holy Spirit. It says here something so powerfully. It says our bodies used to be dead by the power, the sinful nature. And the law couldn't do it. So then Christ came and He became sin for us. He took His old man in Himself. And you know what is so powerful about the resurrection? Christ did not just suffer the consequence of death and sin. He also overcame sin and death through the resurrection. This is why Paul says our faith stands and falls on the simple fact, the resurrection of Jesus. If Jesus was not raised, you can read it. He says, if Jesus was not raised, we are still condemned for our sins. But Jesus was raised from the dead. He was raised from the dead. You know, He became sin in His weakness, in His frailty. All our sin and our sinfulness was placed on Him and was crucified, and He suffered the consequence of that, what was death. But then, by the power of what? The Holy Spirit. You must see this. The Holy Spirit gave Christ new life and was resurrected. Huh? It was the Holy Spirit. Which is personal. Not impersonal. It was not by grace that Jesus was raised from the dead. It was by the power of the Spirit. Where does that Spirit now live? In you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. It is a personal relationship. Therefore, verse 11 says, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. What gives you the ability to live a life of godliness? The Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit. It is personal. It is God Himself. He will give you the ability to overcome everything. Therefore, daarom, broers, therefore, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, but Christ has come to set you free, so that you can live for Him. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are children of God. This is it, people. This is the key. It is personal. If you live by grace alone, grace can become your savior. And then you have no need for relationship, no need for prayer or for the word. But if you live by Christ in you, because of grace towards you, you have need for relationship with God. And that will set you free. Well, no, that won't set you free. That will empower you to live the freedom that you have. That is your power. It is Christ. It's Christ. This is the key for victory over sin. It's your relationship with God. Because grace is not a person. God is. You cannot escape that. You cannot escape that. And because the Spirit is a person, relationship with Him is empowerment. It is obedience. And those things are essential. Those things, and I'm going to end off with this. It says here in Galatians 5 verse 16, I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So the key to holiness is not your own strength. It is a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to share more about that next time. But let us pray. Father, we want to thank you that you have given us your Son. You have given us your Son. I thank you, Father, we did not deserve it. It was because of your mercy towards us. You extended grace. It wasn't because we earned it because of our works, lest we should boast. You gave it by grace. You gave your Son by grace. You poured out your Spirit by grace. You set us free. You called us your own. But you called us. You set us free. Your Spirit lives in us. And it is your Spirit that sets us free. It is your Spirit that empowers us. It is your Spirit that gives us the ability to have life. It is your Spirit that enables us to live a life of holiness. It is your Spirit in us that creates desire and the ability to do what is good and pleasing to you. It is the Spirit in us that transforms us from glory to glory into the image of Christ. It is the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit, we want to thank you that you are in us, that you live in us. God, help us to know you more. God, grant us the ability to know your desires, to hear your voice. Lord, we want to know the power of your resurrection, which is Christ in us, which is your Spirit living in us. Lord, I pray that you will give life to our mortal bodies in the same way as Christ lives his life unto God. Likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Lord, help us to have a relationship with you. Thank you that that remains the key, and it always will be to the very end. God, I pray that we will listen to the desire of the Spirit that beckons us to your word, that calls us to your word. Let us give in to that. Your desire is that we spend time in your word. The desire of the flesh is to spend time in TV, to spend time on the internet. But your desire is that we must spend time with you. God, make us sensitive. Thank you that you have made us free, that we can choose. That we can choose. I thank you, Father, that in that simple choice, there is life. It's in choosing your desires that we become more like you. That you change us. We don't even need to do it ourselves. You change us. I want to thank you for that. God, I pray this morning, God, that you will challenge anything that takes your place. Anything that we put our faith in that is not you. That we trust anything besides you. Even our faith in faith that is not faith in God. Or our faith in grace that is not faith in God. Or our faith in the church. Or our faith in people. Or our faith in so many things. God, let our faith be only in you. Beckon us closer so that we can become like you. We ask this in Jesus' name. While all the eyes are closed, if you are here this morning and you are struggling, God is making an invitation this morning to set you free. Maybe you're trapped in sin. Maybe you're trapped in religion. Maybe you're trapped in works. Maybe you're trapped in grace. God wants to call you to Himself to be free. And if you want to respond to Him this morning, I'm not going to ask you to come forward. But if God has been speaking to you and you want to respond to Him, say, God, I want to be free. I want to know you more. I want to know the promises that you've promised. I want to know the freedom that you have. God, that is me. If that is you, I just want you to raise your hand and say, God, I want more of you. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for those hands. There are many hands going up. You can just drop your hand again. Is there anybody else? There are so many hands. You can just drop it again. Is there anyone else? Is somebody that's still struggling here? This is challenging your mindset. But Father, I want to thank you. Thank you for that hand. Is there anybody else? There's more hands coming up. Thank you, Lord. Say, God, I want to know you. I don't want to know theology. I don't want to know doctrine. I don't want to know good arguments or good sermons. It's not enough for me. I want to know you. I only want to know you. If that is you, I'm going to give a moment or two. Anybody else? Father, I thank you for these hearts that are responding to you this morning, God. I thank you that you are calling them. Thank you for that last hand. I thank you, Father, that you are hearing them. Lord, I pray that in this week, Holy Spirit, that you will reveal yourself to them. That they will hear that still small voice that calls them to you. Lord, that they will not come to you out of obligation, but out of a desire to know you. God, I pray that you will reveal more of yourself. I pray, God, that you will set people free in the knowledge of you. I thank you, God, it is your truth. It is your presence. It is your word spoken over us that sets us free, that gives us a life. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for many sons and daughters that will run faster and stronger than ever before because of you. We thank you for that. Let us persevere until we find you. Let us persevere. Lord, I pray for endurance and strength to persevere until they find you, until they see you. Because that's all we need. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello and thank you for listening to Shofar Armona's Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message and that it will inspire you in your walk with God.